In heaven on the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers try, and press the battle fair the night, shall bear the glowing skies. Against the frozen veil below, let all our strength be heard. This is the victory we know, that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints of love, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind spread, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still a shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Timothy 4 and also over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be jumping in there for a few verses, so have that ready as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 11. 1 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul to this young man Timothy, instructing him how to be a good pastor. Also, he included, and it addresses us, of how to be a good Christian. And so we need to listen carefully. One of the key verses here in chapter 4 is verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness, being godlike, is a characteristic that we're to have. Specifically, Christ-likeness is what we're to be demonstrating. And in verse 12, it tells us that we are to be an example of this God-likeness. And being an example of the believer, it's a sample of what God is like, what Christ is like, is given with six specific areas. Now, these are not exhaustive, but they certainly will keep us busy if we try to accomplish all six of these. We've already seen several of them. We are to be an example in our word, that is what we say, what we don't say. Our speech is to be for the purpose of edifying others. That means to build up, to encourage, to benefit them specifically, spiritually. So in our word, we are to be an example. In our conversation, the word there means our behavior, our conduct, as being citizens of heaven. We are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, ambassadors of Christ, the scripture says. And we are to behave in such a way that we represent him properly. With this in mind, I think too often as believers, we fail to remember that when we're out here in this world, that we are representing several people. We are representing, you are representing yourself as a testimony before others. You claim to be a Christian. What kind of a Christian are you by the way they watch and see you live and speak, etc.? You are representing this church as people find out that you are identified with Holly Hills Baptist Church. So when you're out in this world, people making a judgment about what our church is like by watching you and seeing you. Obviously, they make a judgment about Jesus Christ, the one in which you say you have trusted and believe. All of these things are important. Even with Wilds, we have the Wilds Christian Camp coming up in just a week from tomorrow. They'll be leaving. I've been associated with the Wilds Christian Camp since the second year after it started in 1970. I went as a teenager. I've gone as a youth pastor. Since the 30 years that I've been here, we've been taking teenagers and juniors up to the Wilds. I did it by myself at the beginning, and then finally started training some people as to what I expected when they would come up and be there. Ashley and Paul have done that, Daryl and Jennifer. And I spent a lot of time, several years, getting them to know what I expected when I'm up there. You know why? Because the leadership of the Wilds knows who I am. They know who this church is. And when they are up there, they are representing me in this church, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I expect them, as leaders, to behave themselves in a certain way, to participate in a certain way, and not just go up there and sit down and drink coffee and do nothing. It's not a vacation. It's actually a lot of responsibility. And we have that type of testimony that we have to understand that when we are away, we are representing ourselves, our church, our Lord and Savior. And so we are to have a good behavior, a good conduct in representing them. We saw that we are to be an example when it comes to charity, our love for one another. Both our love for God, our love for other believers, and our love for the lost. We are to be an example when it comes to spirit. We talked about how that is an excited spirit, an enthusiastic spirit. We're to do everything that we do with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our might. I was watching this morning and I was thinking, you know, are we singing this morning with enthusiasm? Or would we be judged as singing dead? And as I mentioned last week, to which of the two do you contribute? Enthusiasm for the Lord or deadness? You see, when we are participating in worship, and it is participation, not spectating, we are here to be involved and to sing and to rejoice and to be excited that we can serve the Lord. And I hope that you're here today with excitement to be able to serve the Lord as well. For today, we want to look this morning at the one being an example when it comes to faith. And before we go any further, let's ask God's blessing upon our time. Father, we do pause and recognize and acknowledge that apart from you, we can do nothing. And I ask right now that you would allow me through your Holy Spirit's power to be able to share very clearly the truth of your word. I pray that you would help keep back any distractions from interfering with our being able to understand and to apply this into our own lives. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, may you speak to our hearts and indicate where we may need to have change and encourage us where we need encouraging and confirm, Lord, those things in which we may be doing and accomplishing correctly through your power. Thank you, Father, for all of it. And we ask your blessing as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. There are several things that we should understand about faith. And as we read it here in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, in verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, no man disregard you because you're young, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and in purity. In faith. Several things to understand. This faith, first of all, must be defined. What is faith? they was believing. Believing is important. I believe this definition is very good for a genuine Bible faith. Genuine Bible faith is, first of all, believing God's words. From the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent, Satan, came through the serpent unto Eve, what was the first sin? It was not partaking of the fruit. The first sin was he got her to disbelieve God's word, thou shalt surely die. And in questioning God's word, then it opened the door for her to partake of the forbidden fruit. And so from the very beginning, the disregarding or disbelieving God's word was a problem. And faith is the opposite of that. Faith is believing God's word and demonstrating that believing of God's word by our obedience to what God says. And we do that in spite of our circumstances or in spite of any consequences that may be there. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, one, you can say, I believe God, but the book of James says you need to show that you have faith. And so that obedience is showing that we believe. And in spite of our circumstances, have you ever heard anybody say, I know that God's word says this, but I know I'm supposed to do this according to God, but what are they about to say or try to say? They're going to try to say, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand my circumstance that I'm in. If God understood what my situation, he would say I didn't need to do that. Really? God never changes. His word never changes. His truth is the same. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday and today and forever. And so we need to understand that God's word, as he speaks to us, is not something that we can excuse away and say, I know that I should be obedient to what God says here, but because of my situation, I cannot. And we excuse ourselves from obeying God. We don't believe God's word. We don't believe God. It's a lack of faith. And consequences. No matter what the consequences are. A man that was shared about in Sunday school, and he heard that lost his job. The teacher, I think it was, said he's not going to teach for his differentiating between saying, you know, they're either got boys or they're girls. They're not, you know, neither. And he got fired for it. And stood up for what he believes in Scripture. Now, you look it up in Scripture. God made mankind. And it says specifically, he made male and female. Made he them. He made us a specific way. There is no middle ground. And there is no other interpretation of that. And I appreciate the man having that conviction. No matter what the consequences would come. Some people would say, if I don't have the dealings like my boss says, that's underhanded and lying and so forth, I'll lose my job. Well, maybe you need to lose that job and get something that does not have to lie and cheat in order to do it. And so we are to have that understanding that genuine Bible faith is believing God's word and demonstrating it by our obedience of what God says, in spite of the circumstances that we're in spite of the consequences that may come. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it states for us, now faith is the substance, that is the title deed, the confidence, if you will, of things hoped for or expected, the evidence, that's the proof or the conviction, of things not seen. Now, we know that faith is believing God in his word, even when we can't see how it's going to work out. We can't understand and perceive how that is going to benefit. and be best. Faith is more than just believing. Faith has an object of what we are to believe. One article said, Muslims put their faith in the Quran and in Muhammad. The Buddhists put their faith in graven images. The humanist puts faith in himself. The religious man puts faith in his works. The materialist puts faith in his wealth. But as genuine believers, we should put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Faith is relying on God when we're beyond our own abilities, our own provisions, our own resources. J.B. Phillips made this statement. He said, man's extremity is God's opportunity. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. It's when I recognize that I'm past my limit, my extremity, that God then can step in and He, in His ability, can glorify Himself. But it's when I think that I can have my hand on the wheel and I can have my hand in the situation and I can control everything, then that's all I'm doing is I'm controlling everything. It's when we step aside and we let God, we depend on Him, we trust Him. Relying on God when we are beyond our ability, when we are beyond our provision, our resources. Faith is divine. Secondly, faith is important. Here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please God. Not just saving faith, but everyday living faith. Because 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. We live every day, we live by faith and not by the sight. Looking, speaking of sight, the African impala, I'm told, can jump to the height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure at any zoo with a 3-foot wall. The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will land. Are you a Christian like an impala? You will not take the next step by faith until you can see where that's going to land. You see, following the Lord is not a guarantee that the next step is something that we're going to see and understand. But we have got to be willing to follow the Lord and take that step, even if we don't understand how it's going to turn out. Following, not by sight, but by faith. For we walk every day by faith. It's important also because Romans 14, 23 tells us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know what that means? If there's something in your life and you have a question about it, you say, I'm not sure if God would be okay with this or not, that means it's not of faith. And if you go ahead with that, then you sin. Even if it doesn't say in the Scripture, thou shalt not do that, it's because you didn't have faith and you took a chance that what I'm going to do may offend God, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because it was not of faith, I know that what I did, God was pleased with it. Faith is important. Faith is also prominent. It's emphasized. The Bible has much to say about faith. Over and over and over again is it talked about in Scripture with faith, faithfulness, and its derivatives over 500 times. God speaks of it. It's been said that the Old Testament and the New Testament, both places, the same statement, the just shall live by faith. Repeatedly here in Hebrews chapter 11, we have examples of it. In verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We've studied it before. And God had revealed to them what to do. And Abel believed God by faith. He believed God and did it God's way. Cain decided, my way will be good enough. Abel believed God. We have in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he built the ark. He built the giant boat on dry land. When God warned him that there was something coming that he had never seen before. What was it? Rain. It had never rained on the earth. For 2,000 years, it had never rained on the earth. God watered it through the dew and the canopy. But God said it's going to rain. There's going to be a flood. There's never been a flood. To build me an ark. And he gave them the directions. And by faith, even not have ever seen and heard of anything like a flood, he obeyed God. He believed God's word. In verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which should after be which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. God said, I want you to go to this other land, a land I'm promising to give to you. Where is it, Lord? Don't worry about that. Just follow me this step and the next step and the next step, and I'll get you there. And he said, yes, sir. And he started walking as God started leading. By faith, he left, not seeing where he was going to end up. Too often as believers, I think that we want to know God's will for our life, and we like to know what God is calling us to do. And as God gives us some indication of that, we start to look and say, now where does this lead to, Lord? Why are we asking that? Because we want to judge whether or not we think that where it leads is where we want to end up, instead of trusting the Lord to know what's best. That's the only reason that we can be asking that. And so it's important for us to understand that as God guides us and leads us, we need to take the next step and to trust Him. Faith is prominent. Faith is also commanded. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. We are not a suggestion. It's not just a good idea, but it is a command that we are to trust the Lord. We're to live by faith. Faith is possible. How do we have faith? How do we get faith? How do we exercise faith? Well, first of all, faith comes by hearing, specifically hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith for salvation, that's true. We hear the Word of God, the Scripture, the Gospel. I've told people before, even Wednesday night, talking about with my doctor that I was witnessing to, does not believe the Bible, does not believe that they're hereafter, really doesn't think about it, don't want to think about it. And yet, what is the best way to witness to a person, even if they don't believe the Word of God? You give them the Word of God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And God says, I will honor my Word. So it's not some clever argument that we devise ourselves to sell a person on salvation, but we share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of what God says. The Holy Spirit of God then takes the Word of God and penetrates the heart of the lost person, and by faith, they respond. That's the way that we witness. That's the power of God. Faith for salvation, but as I said earlier, it's also faith for daily living. We are to live by faith. Our faith for daily living so often is tied to the Word of God. God's Word, and it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, learning of Him. And the more that we know of Him, the more we can trust Him. For secondly, faith comes from knowledge. It comes from experience. How do we come to trust anybody? Have you met people before in your life and you come to realize, hey, that person, you can trust them. If they say they're going to do something, they're going to do it. Maybe you've met somebody else and you say, hey, I wouldn't trust anything they say. Whatever they promise, I doubt it's going to happen. When I was a kid in our community, there was another boy about my age that I played with. I'll call him Gary. Gary was fun to be with. I mean, we had a lot of things in common and we liked him. And I would go play with Gary, but I came to realize something. Gary was a liar. I mean, it's not like that he would lie to get out of trouble or something. He would lie about things when it was not anything you would say was necessary to lie about. I'm not trying to say that there's necessary things to lie about. But in human reason, Gary was a liar. And I have never to this day forgot that Gary was a liar. I pray that this man today has learned not to be a liar. I pray that he's gotten saved. There's some people you learn you can trust them. There's some people you can learn they're going to lie to you. So what am I saying? How do we come to trust anybody? It's by getting to know them. The better we know God, the easier it is to trust Him. Why? Because in everything, He is always faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, we sang. God is faithful. God is truthful. God is always going to be there as trustworthy. So, the small steps of faith that we take, when we take them and find that God was trustworthy and accurate, then the next steps that we can take will be easier. And the bigger the steps can be taken. Faith comes from knowledge. Vicki has an Aunt Ollie in West Virginia. Is she still living? No, she passed. When we first got married, I guess, we were up there visiting. And in West Virginia, on this property, you parked in one spot, and then there was this big creek. And then the yard began in the house, and to get across this big creek was a swinging bridge. And I looked at that thing and I thought, it ain't no way that thing will hold me. And so here comes Vicki's mom and dad, and you know, they just went right on across that thing, and I said, okay. And Vicki, I thought, well, here we go. And so, you know, very cautiously and carefully, I started going across. Well, I made it across fine. They had you back against some things, came back across it. By the time I'd gone across a few times, it was nothing. Why? I learned that it would hold me. Same thing with God. As we trust God, we'll learn that He can hold us. He'll never let us down. He's right there for us. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by knowledge, experience, finding Him faithful. Faith comes sometimes with fear. First steps are always fearful. With the fear of the unknown, that's natural. New steps are always fearful. The weaker the faith, the stronger the fear. Dr. Jim Benny made this statement. He says, you haven't begun to live by faith until you have stepped outside your resources, outside your comfort zone. We need to step outside where we're comfortable. By comfort zone, I mean what we know that we can control. God wants us to step out to the next step. Faith is possible. And faith should be desired. With the apostles in Luke 17:5, it says that the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. In Mark 9:23, we read, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. In both instances, asking for that faith indicates a desire to have it. We need to have a desire to have stronger faith. We need a desire for God to increase our faith. Faith should be desired. What kind of example are you when it comes to faith? This morning, as God evaluates your life, as others maybe could think of you as they watch you, what kind of faith do they see in your life? I'm not asking you, have you had faith in the past? But are you living by faith right now? Are you living it by faith now? Are you stepping out beyond your comfort zone today? Not just this day, but for this time. Faith. Then tied to faith is an idea also of faithfulness. Timothy was to be an example when it came to his faith in believing God's word and demonstrating it by his actions of obedience, no matter what the consequence and circumstances, but also in faithfulness. The definition of faithfulness is dependability in fulfilling our responsibilities. You know, and right now, can have people come to mind, people that you know of, that you would say, that person is faithful. That person is consistent in doing the things that they're responsible for. And you've got other people that may come to mind, and you say, that person, you can't trust them. They say they'll be here, but then they don't show. We have managers in positions, a lot of different jobs, that say it's hard to find someone that's reliable to be there. Sometimes they don't even bother to call. They just don't show up for work. Not faithful. Not faithful. There are two things that we should understand about faithfulness. Number one, it is the requirement of stewards. We read about it. That stewards, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. A steward is a manager of a household or of household affairs. Every one of us are stewards of God. God has given to us, has entrusted to us, everything that we have. And we are stewards of God's entrustment to us. And we are to be found faithful. A faithful manager of all that God has given to us. All of us are stewards, and therefore all of us are required to be faithful. Secondly, it is the qualification for disciples. Back over into 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto whom? To faithful men, faithful people, who shall be able to teach others also. A disciple is a learner, and ultimately a teacher. Faithful people make faithful learners, and in turn make faithful teachers. But we start off with being faithful people. We are to be faithful disciples, both learners and teachers. What kind of example are you when it comes to faithfulness? In your attendance to church, in your service to the Lord, in your reading of God's word and praying, in witnessing, do God and others find you faithful? What are we to be faithful in our life? In what areas should you be found faithful? What's the answer? All. Every area that God has given us, we are to be found faithful. I want you to remember that people are watching you. People are watching me. Your children, your co-workers, friends. If you haven't been faithful as of today, then maybe you need to be honest, first of all, with yourself and the Lord, and say, Lord, you know that I haven't been. Maybe you need to be honest with your spouse and your children. Have that conversation and say, look, I really haven't been the man or the woman that I should be. But by God's grace, I want to start changing today. I want to become the faithful man, the faithful woman that God wants me to be. Nobody's perfect. You'll never be perfect. But you ought to be pursuing that goal. God wants and commands for us to be faithful. Maybe God has brought a particular area to your mind right now. Something that he has put his finger on in your heart and says, that's an area in which I would like for you to get right with me, to be faithful, to follow God. Are you willing to step outside of your resources and trust God right now? Maybe it's tithing. Maybe it's serving the Lord. Maybe it's something that he is calling you to do and you say, Lord, I'm fearful. I don't know how that's going to be and what the end of that will bring. But if God is calling you, would you be willing to say, Lord, I surrender. Take my life. Let it be exactly what you want it to be. And then one word as we close here about salvation. Saving faith. In April of 1988, the Evening News reported on a photographer who was a skydiver. He had jumped from a plane along with numerous other skydivers and filmed the group as they fell and opened their parachutes. On the film shown on the telecast, as the final skydiver opened his chute, the picture went berserk. The announcer reported that the cameraman had fallen to his death, having jumped out of the plane without a parachute. It wasn't until he reached for the absent ripcord that he realized he was free-falling without a parachute. Until that point, the jump probably seemed exciting and fun. But tragically, he had acted with thoughtless haste and deadly foolishness. Nothing could save him, for his faith was in a parachute never buckled on. You can sit here and have faith and say, Lord, I believe your word that says I'm a sinner. I believe your word that says Jesus Christ died in my place and rose again the third day. I believe in your word that if I receive him as my Savior, I will be a child of yours, and you'll begin a change in my life from then till I die. You can believe all of that and have faith, but if you haven't buckled it on, if you have not made the choice personally yourself, then you know the importance of faith, but you just not have taken the step to make it yours. I encourage you today, if that is possibly you, don't let another hour go by without making sure that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure you understand what that means, because heaven and hell are the only two places after death. And it's appointed unto man, every one of us, once to die, and after that, the judgment. It's too late after death to change that destination. You've got to make sure that you have received Jesus Christ, the free gift of eternal life. And like any free gift, you can see it laying there, you can see your name on it, offered unto you. But until you receive it, it's not yours. Make sure you trust it and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And if not, let us speak to you today about it before you leave. Don't put it off any further. Every head bowed, please. Every one of us need to make sure where we stand with the Lord, both in salvation, of course, but also in our daily walk with the Lord. It is to be a walk of faith, not of sight. Father, I pray right now that every one of us would evaluate ourselves to make sure that there's nothing that we're holding back, that we are indeed believing your word and demonstrating it by our obedience, no matter what the circumstances of our life are or the outcome of the. Lord, help us to show that we love you and that we want to obey you and that we want to demonstrate it as an example of faith before others. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in our hearts right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being a part of the service today. Before